All right. So I wanted to record something this week because there's just been nothing out of us for a while. So I wanted to record a little bit, just talk about some MMA stuff, some MMA, because there was some of it recently, not so much this weekend or next weekend. There's Invicta tonight, but I'm not sure how much I give a shit. So please also excuse the background fuzzy sound because I'm in my truck driving up to Sebastian and I gotta do this in the truck. So anyways, what I'd like to talk about is the past pay-per-view for the UFC. It was Demetrius Johnson defeating John Dodson in their rematch for the flyweight title at 125 pounds in the UFC, and Demetrius Johnson handled that with ease. It went to a decision. He was able to, in my opinion, I think he won all five rounds. If you were to give Dodson one round, it might be the second, but that would be about it. Other than that, it was a clean sweep. It was much more dominant than the first time that they fought. Demetrius Johnson's just gotten way better. He is a far better fighter than he was a couple years ago. There's nobody in that weight division who's on his level, or even close to on his level. Everybody in that weight division, including Dodson, Joseph Benavidez, the two guys who are really, really talented at that weight division, and even Ian McCall, they've already lost to him, and they've lost to him multiple times. So I don't know where Johnson goes from here. I don't know who he faces. I'm guessing Henry Cejudo, if Henry Cejudo can pick up a win in his next fight. I believe he's fighting in November. And that is really where I think that division's going, is a Johnson versus Cejudo matchup. Cejudo's an Olympic caliber wrestler, and he looks very strong, big, and his movements look very fluid. He doesn't look like he's stiff or that he's afraid to let loose with strikes or takedown attempts. So that should be an entertaining fight if they can actually get to that. Otherwise, I don't see much for Demetrius Johnson. He's beaten so many of the guys in the top 10 or 15 at that weight. So there's not much more as far as top five guys who you can really throw at him. Like I said, Benavidez, Dodson, McCall, Horiguchi, Chris Carriasso, they've all lost to Demetrius Johnson. They've already lost to him. And most of those fights have been either finishes or dominant decisions. So it's really a weird place to be in, I think, because he could go back up to 135 and fight those guys, but I don't think that's his best weight. He lost to Dominic Cruz in a competitive fight, but you can see that the size mattered there, that they're not the same size. They're not even close to the same size. And when you're close to the same quickness as DJ, you know, and you're that much bigger, it's going to be hard for Demetrius Johnson to actually, you know, hang with people like that. So it was an awesome win. Demetrius Johnson's one of my favorite fighters. A lot of people hate on him because he's 5'3", and he's, as far as his personality goes, he's a little stiff. You know, he doesn't seem like he's got that, like, open, you know, funny personality that some guys have. But he is a badass fighter. There's no question about how good of a fighter he is. He's ridiculously talented, and as far as somebody who has cleaned out their division, I don't know if you can make a case for any other champion in any other weight division who's cleaned out their division more than Demetrius Johnson. He's that good. So DJ wins. He beats John Dodson in a decision. And, yeah, good for him. He's a badass fighter. The co-main event was Frank Mir versus Andre Arlovsky. It was the battle of the 2005 UFC heavyweights. This fight had two different ways to go. it could either be kind of boring and, you know, a lot of clinch work, or it was going to be a back and forth knockout in the first round. And this went the decision boring route. It was not that entertaining. It wasn't like the worst fight I've ever seen, but it's not really something I care to go back and watch again, unless I'm, you know, looking at Andrei Arlovsky's next fight or Mir's next fight, and I want to see, you know, oh, how did they do their last fight? But this fight, you know, Arlovsky got the win. I remember when the fight was over, I sat there saying that, you know, whoever got their hand raised, I really wouldn't even care. It wasn't a great fight. Neither guy really took it to the other guy. But I did come away thinking that Arlovsky won the first and third rounds. It just was, there wasn't a ton of action. I thought that Arlovsky, if he put, you know, if he put the pace on Frank Mir, I think he would have won. I think if he would have gone after him a little bit more, really tried to land big combinations. I think that there were certain times where he would land one or maybe two punches on Mir, and Mir kind of looked stunned a little bit, but Arlovsky would take his foot off the pedal, and then he would let Mir, you know, off the hook. So Mir would get back into the fight, and it just kind of dragged on a little bit. It wasn't the most entertaining thing I've ever seen. Both guys, in my opinion, both guys are badass all-time heavyweights. They're great fighters. Arlovsky is now on a three-fight UFC win streak? Three or four fights where he's won? He beat Brennan Schaub in kind of the same kind of boring fight. He beat Bigfoot, he beat Travis Brown, and now he's beat Mir. So it's a four-fight win streak in the UFC. I'd like to see him fight either the winner of Dos Santos Overeem or Miocic and whoever Miocic is fighting. I forgot who Miocic is fighting. But I'd like to see him fight one more top contender, because I don't think Frank Mir was really a top contender at this point in his career. He's still a, you know, like I said, an all-time great. Frank Mir's, in my opinion, one of the top two submission heavyweights ever. But right now, at this state in his career, he's not the best. He just isn't. There's guys who have beaten him who are still above him in the rankings. So it's a good win for Arlovsky, and it's good for his career to keep on going. Like I said, I'd like to see him maybe fight Miocic, Overeem, or Dos Santos. And, you know, after that, see where he goes. As far as Frank Mir, I kind of would like to see him fight older fighters like Arlovsky. I think the Arlovsky fight was actually a good matchup. I'd like to see him fight maybe Mark Hunt, Josh Barnett, but they've already fought. I don't know. Mark Hunt seems like a good fight for him. But I just don't know where Frank Mir really goes from here. He's not done. He can still compete, but I just don't see him ever being a champion again. So, you know, wherever Frank Mir wants to go, if he still wants to fight, he's earned the right to fight. I don't think he's punchy. When you hear him speak, he's very coherent. So, you know, that it is what it is. So Arlovsky gets a win over Frank Mir in kind of a boring fight. The next one, which was the really the explosive fight on the card, was Anthony Rumble Johnson against Jimmy Manoa. And this went almost exactly how I thought it would go, other than I thought that Rumble would finish him in the first round with punches. Anthony Johnson is one of the scariest human beings I have ever seen. Just the way he stands when he's fighting, it's freaky looking, it's unique looking. Nobody throws punches like this guy. He's extremely muscular, and his punches reflect that. Every punch he throws looks like there's just a ton behind it. And he got a second round KO. He threw a kind of like a body kick to the, like, right underneath the shoulder. Had his left hand extended towards Manoa's face, almost like he was poking him in the eye, but his fingers were kind of rubbing Manoa's forehead, and then a right overhand came right behind it. And you could see when it connected, Manoa's eyes rolled up, and When he got on the ground, it looked like he recovered for like a brief second, but Johnson threw two more right hands that connected, and Manoah was out. Bad loss for Manoah, because I think that now he's going to have to really fight guys either in the, you know, 11 through 15 or even below that ranking for at least two fights just to get back into the top 10, because I personally, I just don't think that guy's a top 10 fighter right now. Rumble Johnson, man, that dude is just, like I said, scary as hell. Guy is unbelievably scary. I'd like to... I don't know who he fights from here, but it's definitely top five guys. He is just a tough out for anybody. So yeah, you know, Anthony Rumble Johnson gets a second round knockout versus Jimmy Manoah. Very exciting fight. The fight before that, Corey Anderson defeats Jan Blachowicz via decision. It was like a grind out fight for Corey Anderson. I think once he realized what he could get away with, which was basically taking down Jan Blachowicz, he did it, and he just kept grinding him out. He ground and pounded him for a good portion of the fight. And when they were standing up, it really wasn't like Blachowicz had a distinct advantage. Corey Anderson, you know, a tough winner. He's a big, strong guy, but I don't really know. I don't know how far he can go. Now, he did just beat a ranked fighter, so I think he, you know, Corey Anderson should be a top 15 fighter, and maybe you get him up against like a little Nogueira or something like that. Really test him, see where he's at. A guy who's like a proven veteran. You could even throw him up against Rampage if Rampage can actually fight, or Shogun or something like that. Just see where he's at, how far he can go. If he can beat a proven, tough veteran fighter, you know, maybe he fights Jimmy Manoah after that. Manoah is kind of a veteran at this point, but he needs to fight somebody who's a little bit lower in the rankings, and that might be Corey Anderson. That would be a pretty good fight. Blachowicz, back to the drawing board for that guy, was not a good showing. It seemed like he gave up during this fight, so I don't know where they go with him. He's going to fall, in my opinion, he falls out of the top 15, or at the very bottom of it is where he's going to be at. So yeah, Corey Anderson gets a decision over Jan Blachowicz. And the opening fight of the pay-per-view, Paige Van Zandt getting a win over Alex Chambers. Submission, I'm sorry, in the third round. Got that beautiful arm bar. This was like a dominant victory all the way through. It looked like just two different... it looked like a woman from a regional show fighting a woman in the UFC. It just looked like two people who were on two different levels, what, you know, in any circumstance. On the ground, on the feet. Paige Van Zandt was far better. And I think that she needs a heavy step up in competition. You know, when she went from fighting Felice Herrig to this, I thought this was actually a step down for her. So I would go a top five opponent for Paige Van Zandt. Let her really get in there. Maybe Carla Esparza. Something like that would be a good step. Maybe Rose Namajunas. But her striking looks okay. It's not like the greatest striking. Her clinch work, again, is okay. She's got some good power, but her defense is something that she needs to work on. Alex Chambers hit her with a lot of stuff in the clinch or when she was moving in close to initiate a clinch. Paige Van Zandt took a lot of shots when she was coming in, but she was able to eat them. It didn't look like there was a ton of power behind Alex Chambers' strikes. So Paige Van Zandt was able to just absorb it and just keep moving forward. And it was a good win for her. She's only like 21 years old. She's a young girl. And she's only going to get better. Hopefully she stays in the sport for a while, because she can really be good. I think her ceiling is unknown at this point. She looks very tough. And I think within a few fights she should be challenging for a title against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Maybe they can even get Claudia Gadelha to fight Paige Van Zandt next. Either Carla Esparza or Gadelha would be a great fight. Even though, she, you know, like I said, Paige Van Zandt's really young, she still is super talented for compared to her opposition. She's just a really talented girl. So yeah, Paige VanZant with a third round armbar submission for the victory. When we go to the prelims, what was the main event of the prelims? Shit, I can't even remember. But the one fight I really wanted to talk about was John Lineker versus Francisco Rivera. And I was telling Mike when we were we did a podcast for this card, but we had some computer problems and we had to cut it short, and it didn't end up making it. It wasn't really good anyways. We were both kind of tired when we were doing the podcast. But when we were talking about it, I told him that this Francisco Rivera versus John Lineker fight was going to be the fight of the night. I've seen Lineker and Rivera. I think Rivera is one of the most underrated guys at 135. And Lineker was moving up in weight, and I thought that he was going to have a lot more energy. Although he's undersized for 135, he really, as far as his body size goes, he should be fighting at 125, but he just can't make the weight. You know, there's no point in doing that if you can't make the weight. But man, did those guys throw some bombs at each other. Lineker ends up coming out on top with a first round ass whooping beat down on the feet, and then wins it with a choke in the first round. But this was like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots kind of a fight. Both guys just bit down on their mouthpiece and just planted and threw. They were going at it. I think that when Lineker started, like, connected, like, maybe once or so with Rivera was like, hell no, you're not doing this to me. And they both started throwing, and Lineker ate some shots and threw them right back, and Rivera just could not take the power of Hands of Stone John Lineker. John Lineker also has the whitest name for a Brazilian. Just throwing that out there. It's kind of funny. If you said John Lineker, you don't think of a guy who's Brazilian. You probably think of a guy from like Texas or somewhere in the States. But Lineker is tough as nails. He's got a good chin on him. And he had one of the more impressive fights I've seen this year. It kind of reminded me of Vanderlei Silva versus Brian Stann, where technique wasn't going on very much in this fight, but crazy, just crazy strikes just being thrown until one man goes down was aplenty in this one, and it was super fun to watch. I was jumping out of my seat, screaming at the TV for the 2 minutes or 3 minutes that it was, and I appreciate that. I appreciate both of those fighters for doing that. And I just remember the main event of the prelims was Ross Pearson versus Paul Felder, which I also thought was going to be a great fight, and it was. It was a pretty good fight. It wasn't like the greatest thing I've ever seen, but it was a good fight. Ross Pearson got the decision. It was a very close fight. I wouldn't have been mad if Felder got the win. It could have gone either way. They gave it to Pearson. I think he did enough to get that victory. I thought Paul Felder, if he would have thrown a little bit more leg kicks in that fight, he would have come out on top. When he threw leg kicks, it looked like they were heavy and that they hurt a lot. And he just kind of threw them here and there, but didn't really go at it enough. But the one thing I'll give Felder is that he dictated the pace. He was walking Pearson down for most of the fight. And I think when guys do that, you should be given more credit. You should be given a little more credit than what you're given. Because I think that should count for a lot more. I think maybe just based on that, because the rest of the fight was pretty close, that maybe Felder should have got the win. Because if you're walking a guy down, if you're dictating the pace, if you're controlling the center of the octagon, that should count for a lot. That means that you're making your opponent run around on the outside a lot more. They're having to burn a little bit more energy. And I thought that's what Paul felt. I think that was the main thing that Felder had going for him, was he dictated pace and position. But Ross Pearson was able to land a lot of good strikes. And he even had some takedowns in the fight as well, showing that some of the Brits can wrestle, which is a good sign for him. I would like to see them fight again. I know in the post-fight they had mentioned that those guys could possibly fight three fights, and I wouldn't be against that. They're both great fighters. I don't think they're vying for a title anytime soon. I don't think Pearson ever will. Felder might one day, but yeah, I'd like to see a rematch in that fight. It'd be entertaining. I think this fight was an entertaining fight. And yeah, so it went three rounds, went the way of the Brit, Ross Pearson, in a pretty entertaining fight. I enjoyed it pretty much. So that was, for the most part, UFC 191. It was an entertaining card for the most part. I don't have any real complaints. The main card kind of dragged a little, if you had to say something about it. But overall, it wasn't bad. It was a pretty good fight. Or fight card, and I enjoyed it for the most part. Coming up, the next UFC is it's not for a little while, but the main event is Josh Barnett versus Roy Nelson in a heavyweight fight in Japan, where the last time Roy Nelson was there, he got knocked out by Mock Hunt, and the last time Barnett was there, he was speaking Japanese in pride. So it'll almost be a homecoming for Barnett, who had a great run in Pride when he was one of the badass heavyweights that Pride had going over there. And I think the winner of this fight between Barnett and Nelson really solidifies himself as a top heavyweight. I think the loser may never fight again. I honestly believe that. I think both guys are up there in age at this point. Roy Nelson, I think, is actually out of the top 10. And I think if he loses, it depends on how he feels, but if he loses, I don't really know where you go with him. His appeal is his crazy hair and that he's a fat guy. And, if you're not winning fights with that big knockout punch, then your appeal loses a little bit of the luster. But other than that, it's kind of slow with MMA with these upcoming weeks. There's not anything going on in the UFC. I think there might be a Bellator card coming up. I'm excited for that Dynamite card, the Bellator Dynamite card, which is going to combine MMA and kickboxing. I love Glory Kickboxing. They're going to have two stages set up. One's going to be a kickboxing ring. One's going to be an MMA cage. There's going to be a four-man light heavyweight tournament. There's going to be the light heavyweight title fight between Tito Ortiz and McGreary. I forgot his name, but McGreary is the light heavyweight champion. Tito is going to get a shot at that belt, and I think it will say a lot for the talent level in Bellator if Tito is able to win this one. I don't think Tito will win. I think Tito's a little too slow for this, but we'll see what happens. You never know. But that's all I got for right now. I just wanted to record a little something just to throw some stuff out there. But thank you for listening to a mini Unqualified Apes podcast with just Jacob today. No Mike. But we will be back shortly, and we'll do some more entertaining stuff and just talk about MMA. All right. Peace, everybody. Thank you.